أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونستعينه ونتوكل عليه إنه هو السميع العليم والتواب الرحيم ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيد النبيين وخاتم المرسلين رسولنا المكرم المبين وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه المنتجبين greetings of all brothers and sisters from South Africa to you all brothers and sisters here in London As I was sitting here and I was watching the two great leaders of our time next to each other, within probably in this few seconds, few minutes that I was sitting there, I traveled two decades back, three decades back in my life to review all of the memories that personally I had with the two great leaders that I'm going to speak to you about. I am one of those most privileged people who managed to meet Imam Khomeini rahmatullahi alayhi three times. That time I didn't have the religious garb. I was just a poet in the circle of poetry, participating in a competition which was internationally announced, and over 80 countries has participated, and that was after the massacre in Mecca. The Ministry of Guidance in Islamic Republic of Iran has announced an international competition on art. And in the field of poetry, I have participated, so fortunately I won the first prize, which was that time $5,000. So over a night, all of a sudden, this poor students, which probably were getting that time something like $20 a month salary from the seminary from Hauser, got $5,000 as a prize. And as I was reciting the poetry there, one of the great companions of Imam Khomeini rahmatullahi alayhi, Ayatollah Tawassuli, that whenever you see picture of Imam, you see him in his side, a white turban, great alim sitting next to him. Always he is present in all of the meetings of Imam Khomeini. If you have all of those pictures, Ayatollah Tawassuli was sitting behind me. When I finished my poetry recitation, he asked me a question. He said, have you visited Imam Khomeini personally? And then it was a time for me to say yes or no, because, I mean, if I say yes, maybe I'm going to lose again the chance. So I said, if there is any wajib, an obligatory lie to be say this, yes. So I said, no, I haven't. While I had the experience of visitation of Imam Khomeini before, but not in a personal conversation with him. But I felt the presence of him, and I was before him, was watching him, I was looking at him. So he said, come tomorrow to Jamaran. So it was 7 o'clock on the morning, I was there. A lot of other brothers also has been there to greet Imam Khomeini. And then he told me, come the last. So when I went there to kiss his hand and get his blessings, in the entire visitation, I was crying one way. The full face tear was coming out of my face. And all of my worry was that he is going to look at my inner side and see my real picture. That he has that vision to see through the personality of people. And I was worried that now Imam Khomeini is looking at me like a dog or a human being, I don't know, in an animal face or whatever. So my worry was that, but anyway, I was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I must appear to him like a human being. And then when I kissed his hand, I just came out of that place, and Ayatollah Tawassuli said, wait a minute, here I'm coming back quickly. After 2-3 minutes, he came back with a bundle of new printed Iranian Islamic Republic, Iran, after revolution. The first time published notes was 200 riyals, which that time probably about $10. One of the notes was probably $10 or $14 around. So 20,000 of them in a bundle, he came with 20,000 Iranian tuman. So, and I said to him, look, yesterday you saw that I was, you know, getting, I had $5,000. I didn't need any money. If Imam Khomeini wanted to give me a gift, I wanted something spiritual. And he said, what do you mean? I said, something like a shirt. I want his personal shirt. And then he said, it's too late. As I was talking to him, Ayatollah Rafsanjani passed to go and visit Imam Khomeini. And he said, look, it's now 8 o'clock. And he arrived, and it's not possible for me to interrupt anymore. So I said, so what about my present? He said, so let us do it another time. I said, okay, if you agree for me to come another time, so please accept that whenever I want to become Muammam and I want to put the turban on my head and I want to use religious garb, I must be able to come and visit Imam Khomeini rahmatullah. He said, oh, are you students of Islamic in Hausa? I said, yes. Oh, that's nice, that's good. Okay, so go and prepare your clothes, and as soon as you are ready, then you call me, we'll have another appointment to visit Imam Khomeini. So we did that. In the next 3 months, everything was ready, so I was back into visitation of Imam Khomeini. But this time I know what I must ask. So when I went there and I kissed his hand and he put the turban on my head, I didn't say direct to Imam, but I asked Ayatollah Tawassuli, what about my main request? And he went, talked to Imam Khomeini, that this is the same poet who came 3 months ago and he had the recitation of poem concerning Mecca massacre that you liked. And then Imam Khomeini remembered, he said, okay, he wants your shirt. And as soon as he told to Imam Khomeini that I want his personal shirt, he stood up from that canopy. You know, if there is that exhibition and the pictures that you can see of Imam Khomeini, he was always sitting in a canopy in a small chair on the balcony of his very small house, which I have got a lot of memories, I'll tell you about it. He stood and he entered into the house. 2-3 steps in, he's back. I said, oh God, he changed his mind. Definitely now he realized something wrong with me and he doesn't want to give me his shirt. I was very sad. But no, he came back. This is a lesson for all of us. He came back only to turn off the radio, which was working on a battery. You know the small radios that you have 12 waves. You remember Sony radios that you can, you know, that time, you know, all of us, we had this radio, and it was working with battery, not with the electricity. So he turned off that radio, that in this 3-5 minutes that he's going to spend inside bringing shirt for me, the radio should not work and the battery should not be wasted. So then he went inside. There was a glass of water. Say salawat. Half empty. At the top of this glass, there was an A4 size paper, and at the top of the paper, there was few lump of sugar. And there was a question mark. I asked Tawassuli, Ayatollah Tawassuli, what is the story of this? He said, this morning, Imam Khomeini used half of the glass to drink tablets. Now the rest of that, he kept it for the lunch. That when he want to use, he want to drink again the tablets, he must use other half. And because he doesn't want the dust to settle on the water, he put the paper. And because the wind doesn't want to remove or take away the paper, he put some lump of sugar as a paperweight. You know, lots of lessons. But however, I asked him for an advice. And that is something which I never forget. First, I asked him to pray for me, and he prayed something that the effect of that prayer up to this moment I feel everywhere in my life. Always that prayer worked for me. And the second, I asked him advice, what is the advice that you can give me, that you have given me the authority to have this clothes and this garb and accepted me to be a soldier of Islam in this century, your soldier, give me a piece of advice what I should do for my spiritual aspects to grow up. He didn't reply immediately. How long I got time, brother?
You have more time, 15 minutes at least.
He didn't reply immediately. It took for him probably about 40 seconds. It was total silence there. I was not able to even to look at his face. My head was down. Just sometimes I was looking at him, bringing my eyes back just to, you know, see what's happening. And after about 45 seconds, he raised his head. That means in that 45 seconds, he was thinking what to say. And the answer was something tremendous that I can give you. It's a lesson for all of us. As you can see, Imam Khomeini, probably he was going to answer you the same. He said, somebody asked this question from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. And Imam Baqir alayhi salam has given an answer, and I'm giving you that answer. He says, man alima, man amila bima alima. Man amila bima alima, allamahullah ma lam ya'lam. That if somebody act and practice what he know, Allah will teach him what he doesn't know. What we don't know, and we don't know that lying is bad, just act upon that. Cheating is bad. A lot of things we know. Probably 1-10% we don't know. The 90% all of us we know. Each of us, we are a scholar on the issue of good things and bad things, because you have inner prophet inside you, and that is the wisdom that each of us we have. Tells us what is good, what is bad. From 9 years, from 8 years, from 5 years old already, we know what is good and what is bad. And then I asked him, what is the secret of your success? And then I realized, I mean, he's a little bit, I felt like that this small boy is now bothering me, wasting my time, something like that. Again, he taught. And after a little bit of a pounding upon this issue, he came back, and 3 times he uttered this word, ikhlas. 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 And I asked him for prayer and came out. And that tone of Imam Khomeini is as fresh as it just happened 2 minutes ago. Always has been a type of supervisor for my life, that whenever I, you know, forget about my duties. I just remember what he said, and I become a new, fresh soldier, ready for service. So, now that is my personal experience with Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullah. By the way, I've got that shirt still. I'm the only person in the face of the universe who has got the privilege of having the personal shirt of Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullah Alayh. The late Kalim Siddiqui of, you know, all of you, especially in London, in UK, late Kalim Siddiqui was my guest in Mashhad. And he said, Husseini, I'll give you £50,000. Give it to me. I said, impossible. Impossible. Recently, that shirt, when I went to visit Imam Ayatollah Khamenei, our supreme leader during the months of Ramadan, I was his guest for the iftar. So I took for the supreme leader the shirt. And I asked him that, Sayyidi, the story of the shirt he knew already, because he congratulated me in one occasion that you deserved it. But then I told him that this is the same shirt, and I have taken this to Lebanon, and I have taken this shirt to Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, and he prayed tahajjud in this shirt, and I want you also to bless the shirt. And believe me, he started.
Salla ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He said, what? Imam Khomeini? I should pray in a shirt of Imam Khomeini? Impossible. I should pray in the shirt of Imam Khomeini? Impossible. Where I am, where Imam Khomeini is. Yeah, this shirt was lying with Imam, with our supreme leader for about 5 months after Ramadan. How long is now? A few months. From that time, I received it back about 2 weeks ago. But Imam, our leader, our supreme leader, to refuse. He refused to pray inside. He said, I don't have the qualification to do so. While I say to our leader, to our supreme leader, to me you are the second Khomeini. To me you are Khomeini of our time. But the close bond between Imam and Ayatollah Khamenei is something else that I cannot describe. How? These are my personal experiences with this great man. But beside that, I have continued my relationship with the family of Imam Khomeini. I am an advisor to his daughter, Professor Zahra Mustafavi, who is the Director General of the Union of NGOs Supporting Palestinian Rights. A great job that he is continuing to support the Palestinian brothers, and I am his advisor. So every week once we meet, and always he has got something new to tell us about Imam Khomeini. And I would like to share some of those memories. First of all, Imam Khomeini, when he came to Tehran, they were looking for a house. So first they showed him a very, very posh house. And Imam Khomeini says, impossible for me to stay in this posh house. Look, in a poor place, in a poor part of town, a very humble house. So after a visitation of 10, 15 houses, Imam Khomeini accepted this house, which was at that time in a village around Tehran, which called Jamaran. But after Imam Khomeini arrived, that village now become developed. Today is a developed area because of Imam Khomeini. But before, it was a forgotten suburb for Tehran. So, and daughter of Imam Khomeini said something which I was amazed. He said, he took me for a tour of the house. And then he said, for 11 years, Imam Khomeini did not came out of this house. For 11 years, he did not came out of this house. The only time that he came out was to go outside of this boundary, vote for election, and come back in. He never left this house. And then we reached to a certain place in the yard, and she started crying. I said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "This place was a little bit sunny. So I brought a carpet to put in this part of the yard, and I wanted him to change his place from here to the other part of the yard, which was shadow, shade." And then he said, "No, he was insisting I want to sit here in this place." And I said, "For what reason?" He said, "Your mother has told me that this is your place in the yard." He said, I have lived with my father for 50 years. In this 50 years, whenever we eat, I never remember any time Imam Khomeini start eating food without my mother sitting in there for eating." And he says, "In our lifetime, not only my mother, but never ever he order us, our children, to turn off the light. If he need to turn on the light, he stood up himself and goes and turns off the light and he come back and he sit." Small issues. The respect that he has for our mother was tremendous. Beside all of these, when it comes to the issue of, look, being a poet is something very tremendous. I mean, who doesn't want to be known as a poet? It's a name, it's a fame, something that everyone will consider you something better if you are a poet. So Imam Khomeini, only we realized he was a great poet of our time, only when he was dead. Only when he demised, and he's never again with us, we realized he was a great poet, and he had a collection of something like 500 poems, which now is published after his demise. To be a poet and you don't tell to everyone, that's something that you must realize. For him, revolution was not something that he has to be in Oxford, learned about it, read theories of revolution, and go and academically tackle the case until you create a revolution, an uprise, create following for yourself, and then uprise against a system and create Islamic Republic. For him, revolution that happened in Iran was a normal procedure of life. As he was praying every day, as he was eating every day, as he was doing his personal duty, one of the things was that he has some duties against Muslims and against Shias and against Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and he has to fulfill. So it was not an organized action that he must now follow the procedure to create revolution. That's why when Imam Khomeini, after 15 years, he returns back from Paris, after 15 years of exile, victoriously, with a famous flight, with a 400 journalists in, you arriving in Tehran. I was there when he arrived. But a journalist approached him and asked him, "How is your feeling?" And the one word which came out of his lips, he said, "Nothing. Nothing." one of his friends was saying that I was sitting with him, and thousands of people were outside asking Imam Khomeini, "Just come, we want to see you," and shouting Durud Bar Khomeini. And he said, "My brother, you see, all of these people are saying Durud Bar Khomeini. If all of them one day come and say this to Khomeini, I won't be moved. Why, I won't be affected. And today, when they are saying Durud Bar Khomeini, I'm not also moved." This is the man. Is my time out?
No, Bismillah.
Oh. So, if you are not tired, say a salawat.
Allahu
Tehran was under the siege, and every day three missiles were coming from Baghdad to hit Tehran. 7 million population of Tehran gone out of the city, and the city was really under attack. But Imam Khomeini was asked, leave Tehran. He said, impossible. Then they made a shelter for him, that at least if you don't want to go out of the city, go into the shelter. He asked the question, have you made shelter for every single citizen of this town? They said, no, it's impossible. He said, impossible for me also. I'm staying here. That is the kind of leader that we had. The daughter of Imam Khomeini said, once he wrote a message to the militia, to Basijis. You know about the Basijis, I don't have to tell you about it. The 20 million army that was established by Imam Khomeini. He sent a message to the Basijis. So the message was about to be read from the national radio and TV, that a phone call came from the office, stop, don't read it, returning back. When the message came, he changed one word. Changed one word. And then sent it back to be read. And that word was that in that message he said, I always remember you in my du'as. And he omitted, he changed the word always. He said most of the time. That is the man we need in our time. That he is not even ready to tell lie to his nation to that extent. Then you can face so many thousands of the leaders around the world, which if they don't tell lies in their daily life, it is impossible for them to really pass the day. The whole policy of the whole world is based on lie. But Imam Khomeini didn't want to. One, another tremendous occasion with Imam Khomeini. This is something I heard from Dr. Vilayati, the ex-foreign minister of Iran. He told me personally. This is good for those brothers who are pro-wahdat and unity between the Shias and the Sunnis. We should use this example. Very tremendous story. He said once the Russian ambassador insisted that he want to visit Imam Khomeini, and he has got a personal message from the president of USSR. Before Gorbachev, there was, I think, Brezhnev. And he was sending the message to Imam Khomeini. So we said that this, the story to Imam Khomeini, this is not diplomatically correct, but what you advise. He said, okay, let him come. So the ambassador of Russia goes to visit Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi. He says, okay, what you have got to say? He said, our president sending you the greetings, and he says, do you know this missiles which is coming from Iraq is made by who? Said, yeah. We know it is made by you guys. You're giving it to Saddam. They are sending to us, and we have been killed every day. He said, okay, this is a deal. A secret deal between us. Stop giving guns to Afghanis, and we will stop giving missiles to Saddam Hussein. Such a lucrative deal. Who doesn't want politicians? You know? Look, at the end of the day, I must look after my own nation. Why I must now bother about a bunch of homeless people in Afghanistan? My country is under the siege. Not, I should not bother. It's a lucrative deal. I'll save my country. You know what was the reply of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi? He said, he didn't talk one word anymore to the ambassador. He said to me, to Dr. Vilayati, he says, chase away this pig. And I saw the anger in the face of Imam Khomeini. that for the first time I saw that seriousness, the anger, chase away this pig. The word pig he used. Chase away this pig from my office, as we are not here to negotiate about the destiny of our Muslim brothers. He didn't say, okay, that's a lucrative deal, let us deal, that's fine. From tomorrow, we are not going to have no any missiles here. We will deal with the Afghanistan diplomatically, this and that. No, he said, no negotiation. While in Afghanistan, there are Sunni brothers. It's 35 years that we are under problem, under the extreme, surrounded by the superpowers and sanctioned and this and that, just because of our Sunni brothers in Palestine. They're not Shias in Palestine. And if we just agree on the issue of Palestine, all of our problem will be sorted out. We are suffering for our Sunni brothers, but we are ready to even die for it. That is the situation that we have. But the same Khomeini now is blamed what has been called kafir. How that can be possible, my brother? How that can be possible? Hafiz has got that famous poetry that I don't want to now mention about. However, Imam Khomeini, when he went to Najaf, you know, it is traditional that you publish a book, Tahrir al-Wasila or Tawzih al-Masail, and then you become officially considered a marja'i taqlid. So the students came, and all of them, they have insisted that he should also publish this book, because then you become officially considered one of the marja'i and a source of authority. So because of the pressure which was there, a lot of people were already making taqlid of Imam Khomeini. He accepted for the book to be published. But then when he saw the published book, he read a sentence which was written on the back of the book, on the cover. It was written, the leader of the Hawzas. The leaders, Za'im Hawzahaya Ilmiye, the leader of the scientific Hawza, the seminaries. And then as soon as he saw, who said, who gave you the authority to write me as the leader, to write my name as the leader of Hawza, while Ayatollah Khui at the moment is Zaim Hawza-Hai Ilmiya, not me. And he said, until this sentence is not removed, you don't have no authority to distribute this book. I have a copy of that in my house. While they have taken it back to the publication office and printed golden, you know, it was offset, you press it with a golden color. So that sentence has been completely removed, but you can still read under that there was this sentence. This is the Imam, the type of person that we have. And then his successor, Ayatollah Khamenei. I remember I was probably 10, 15 years old in Mashhad whenever I was passing, probably every day I was meeting him. A very chic, you know, presentable, good, clothed, very beautiful, with a charismatic manner. He was always coming, going, and always I was amazed by his personality, his height, his beauty, and all of that. You know, as a small boy, I liked him as a great man. So later on, that was the story that he became our leader. And then our connection was also poetry, that he loves poetry, and I'm also a poet. And every year in the Ramadan, middle of Ramadan, we have an appointment with him. He hosting all of the poets of the nation, and we have an iftar, and then after that, up to probably 12 o'clock, we sit, we recite our poetries, and he's listening, and he is a very good critic of the poems also, and he himself is a poet. So our connection bond starts from there. In Mashhad, when he came, so I told him about the story of a Shaheed family, which they had, you know, two children, and they didn't have some substance, and they were not looked after. So as soon as he heard the story, he said, plan, let's go. tonight we're going to. So I was amazed. And as soon as I said, he said, tonight we're going. But then there is a procedure how to inform them, because they should not know who is coming because of the security issue. So I spoke to the bodyguard crew, and they said, okay, let us now go to the house and tell them that somebody from the Shaheed Foundation is going to come. And I've got 5 minutes, as I have been told. So I will round up, inshallah, before that. Anyway, they were informed. So finally, when we arrived there, they were shocked that the leader of Islamic Republic is standing on the door. They were shocked. So we went inside. The mother was sick. The grandmother was sick. He immediately called himself a doctor, which was a friend, come here. You know, about 10, 15 minutes, the doctor was here, and the checking happened. And then at the same time that was happened, the two children, very naughty children, they came and they now started playing with our leader. And then they were jumping on the shoulder. Even they grabbed his amama. The amama was untied. And then he realized they were very happy. I saw myself, brothers, that he made himself. He bowed for the children to ride on him. So he gave them a good lift. And he made them laugh. And that night when we came, their accommodation, the house was sorted out, the health problem of the family, everything. And he has got a type of weekly programs to visit the Shuhada family. And he enjoys it. One of his greatest joy is to visit the family of the Shuhada all the time. From every aspect that you think of, our Supreme Leader is one of the greatest men of our time. Personally, I had an experience with Nelson Mandela in South Africa. Okay, there is something nice about a memory that I have with him. We don't have time, so I'll forget about it. But I was carrying the personal greetings of Nelson Mandela to our leader when I went there to our Supreme Leader, and I talked to him about Mandela. He said, yes, Mandela was sitting here, and he said this, and he said that. Beside all of that, what I can tell you is that Mandela said two things. One, that one of my regrets is that I was released from prison while Imam Khomeini was already gone. And I did not manage to see that great man. The exact words which was coming out of his mouth. And then he called our leader, our supreme leader, as his leader. As he was approaching to grab him and embrace each other, he said, oh, my leader. That is what has been also recorded and has been always said. Mandela was also one of the greatest people that from the secular leaders that we had in our time is Mahatma Gandhi and Nelson Mandela, which both of them are fortunately coming from South Africa. So I was speaking, I think, 30 or something minutes. I think my time is finishing, and inshallah, I really thank you very much for inviting me. Thanks, Dr. Shomali, for giving me this opportunity. I can see the ulamas are sitting here. Brother Bahmani is there, and brothers and sisters. It was just some personal memories that I had with these two great leaders, and I was privileged to be hosted here today in this really nice celebration. So congratulations to all of you, brothers and sisters, on the 36th anniversary of the revolution, which has changed the course of history. Safeguard your revolution, because we are about to, inshallah, create wonders in the world based on the revolution that we have created. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.